But really, real four. So you say the journey to Iraq was very boring.
That's right, yes.
What was your daily routine like then?
The daily routine was just, well, traveling and getting covered in sand through the convoy throwing up so much dust.
Was there a problem with desert sores with all this sand about?
Yes.
Could you tell me what desert sores are?
No.
So it's a patch of what?
It comes up like that.
So it comes up like a scab, yeah?
Just it appears from nowhere. The reason unknown for getting it. Cuts up to a very very big head, bursts, and then, well, with attention, it kills itself eventually. It can take a lot of 12 months to clear up.
Was there any medical treatment for it that you would give people?
You could look at normal inflammatory treatment. Penicillin, which was rather small at the time, but if it was serious enough, you were given penicillin, and the main thing we used to use was cream, aquaflavid cream, I think it was, which treated it very well.
Was there a problem with infection with it?
Yes. If it got bad with that, that's when you were given the antibiotics.
The penicillin.
That's right, yeah, penicillin.
And was there any precautions you could take against getting them?
Not at all. No. I would say it didn't matter how clean you were. Which was, you know, not very possible to keep, you know, perfect. Not like you would in Sydney Street. But given the chances, I think if you could keep cleaner, you wouldn't have had the trouble.
So was this a problem on this journey?
Yes. Even from the time you arrived in Africa, in Egypt, really. Until you moved out again, until we got to Iraq, where we were able to get all the towns, Baghdad, we were based in, actually. And you had plenty of water, and you were able to clean yourself a bit.
So this journey, how long had it taken you?
I think about 10 days that we took.
And where would you be accommodated at night time?
In tents, or bivouacs, if you like. Each man was given you had your own ground sheet, which was doubled up for a bivouac.
And how would you spend your time in the evenings?
You didn't. You just, guard duties en route, I'll say. No matter where you were, you had to have guard duties. And if you were lucky, you had a pack of cards. Otherwise, you just sat and talked.
And there was no other facilities at all?
No, nothing at all. Until we got to Baghdad, where we were given, I won't say a leave, but we were given a pass to walk into town.
What was Baghdad like?
Baghdad was very nice at the time. Once you got outside the perimeter of the town, if you like, it was rather drab. Unfortunately, the hygiene wasn't too good. we were sitting one night for a meal, and we all had crab, and we all had food poisoning. but apart from that, I'd say it wasn't too bad. We had, I guess, about 3 months there.
What were the facilities like for troops?
For
the troops?
The troops. There wasn't much there at all, really. They were really social people. But certainly the duties of we were there guarding the residential palace. That was one of our duties. And also, I think we done a bit of duty at the prison duties. I'm not too sure on that, but I think we did.
And were you the only Allied troops there, or were there other units?
I can't recall anybody. I think there must have been part of the division there, which then we were with the 5th Division, because we all went to we all moved from the division moved from Egypt through to India via Iraq.
So as you'd moved to Iraq with an Indian division, had you had any anticipation of where you might be going eventually?
Yes. We were told we were going to India. Put it to India, you come up the answer of three, and you were in Burma. But that wasn't worrying me too much at the time.
So you were in Baghdad. Did you have a problem, because I've heard from other people who served with the unit, that there was a problem of stealing while you were in Baghdad from some of the locals? You had to be very careful.
Yes. They were after arms, and being in a tent, the Bedouins used to come along and pitch in rifles. So we had to dig a slot under your palliasse, or whatever you were sleeping on, dig a slot to put your arm and put your rifle in, put your bed down and lay on it. But they still found methods of getting it, which they used to tickle you to turn over. Now you turn over, they grab your rifle. It never happened to me, but it did happen.
Were they after other supplies as well? Were they after other types of supplies?
Yeah, that's it, yes. There was nothing else, as far as I know, happened there.
So what happened next after you'd finished your duties in Baghdad?
When the duties in Baghdad finished, we moved down to Baghdad, en route to India. We eventually joined an Indian troop ship. In Bachelor. Not very happy with it. It's crewed by Indians, and we weren't very happy with India at all, Indians at the time. Although later, having served with them, they were one of the best. But the journey from of that trip to Mumbai was a very exciting one. We moved from Batra into the Persian Gulf, and I think it was somewhere in the region of Dharam, Bahrain, somewhere there. They wanted to refuel. So we pulled into the dock. They threw the horse across to tie up, and the horse was snapped. And it whiplashed. And it whiplashed around the propeller of the boat. It was somewhere in the region of about 120 degrees at the time. And we were stuck on board. Well, they sent divers down from the boat to release the hawser. They found they couldn't. So they brought quite a lot of heavy equipment in and took the propeller off. Having got the propeller off and released the hawser, put the propeller back on, they dropped it. At the bed of the river. And we were there for 11 days with 720 degrees and not allowed off ship because it was a neutral country.
So how did you, what did you do to pass the time over those 11 days?
You had nothing to pass the time with whatsoever. You just stood there and looked at the countryside, which is desert, and that was it. Or you made your own entertainment on board.
What type of entertainment would that be?
Well, somebody would get and sing a song or tell a few dirty jokes. apart from that, there was nothing.
So when they got it repaired, did you continue your journey? When it was repaired, did you continue the journey?
We continued the journey then to Bombay. And that is where we saw the first of India. Arriving at Bombay, we were transferred from the cruise ship to a train, heading for just outside Calcutta. We headed to Calcutta anyway, which was a three-day journey from Bombay for a trip ship, trip train, with slatted seats, with no comfort whatsoever. and we just suffered with it.
What had been your initial impressions of India when you'd arrived in Bombay?
Not very good. Everything seemed dirty. The people, hardly anybody spoke English. Nobody spoke English for us, really. And that was it. That was the journey from Calcutta to Bombay to Calcutta with stop start all the way. When you stop, the locals approach you. Eggs and bread, chickens, and we used to do a bit of bartering with some eggs. So he was for a blanket or something. And that was it. Arriving at Calcutta, we then transferred to Ranchi, which is I think about 70 miles out of Calcutta, which was a jungle training center. I mean, as I understand it, most infantry people were arriving in India went to Ranchi, and you suffered the first of many episodes for the jungle. And you spent a bit of time there.
Can I ask you what the jungle was like at Ranchi? What was the jungle like at Ranchi?
Not as bad as Burma. It was rough, but accessible. So you didn't have to cut your way through everywhere like you had in Burma.
And were you issued with your jungle kit at that stage, or were you?
Well, they issued. Moving from Bajra to Bombay, we were issued with it on board the ship. And you then had everything, your jungle green, bush hats, puggeries, soft beaches by your ankles. Yes, you had the full kit.
So with this jungle training, what did that entail?
Finding your way through jungle, learning to cross joins, and it's generally doing opposite to what you've done in the desert.
And had you in the medical section, had you been given any special kind of new training that you might have to encounter with things in the jungle?
Yeah, certain things, you were given details of how to recognise, such as malaria, typhus, other water, for instance, you were told how to test and purify water, which is all part of the medical section.
Was there much more emphasis placed on that than there had been in the desert?
Oh yes, much more. Because in the desert, as I said, the water was supplied in tankers from towns, which was virtually pure.
And were you still carrying your stretcher?
Yes.
With the stretchers, how did you carry the stretcher?
On the shoulder.
And if you had a casualty?
If you had a casualty, there would be two of you. And you had slings, stretcher slings, which would take the what you sort of around your neck. And it takes the weight off your arms for carrying any long distance. If there are only one of you, then depending on the condition of the casualty, you carry them in the fireman's lift back to base, if you can manage it, which I was lucky. I didn't lose anybody.
While you were training, did you actually practice that sort of thing in the jungle?
Yes.
Was it, well, how difficult was that to do?
Very difficult, because you had to carry your arms as well. In the jungle, with the Japs, did not recognise the Geneva Convention. So therefore you had to have something to protect yourself. We had rifles to start with, but then they realised that that was not practical, and so we then gave revolvers.
Did you still wear the Red Cross?
Yes, but it was not recognised. You wore it mainly for your own combat, who would recognise you, if they needed help.
So in the training, you'd actually practised casualty evacuation through the jungle?
That's right, yes.
How far could two men roughly carry a casualty on a stretcher before they'd have to rest or stop?
Well, the longest I've done, it took me 5 hours. The distance, I would not say, the distance in the jungle was unpredictable. You couldn't say, well, you walk for an hour, that's 3 miles. Which was, the normal march. I'm saying you can walk for an hour in the jungle, it could be half a mile.
And were there any special things that have been introduced for you while you were training at Ranchi that you were going to have to use in the jungle that you'd not been accustomed to using before?
No. It's apart from the basic training, which is the same in whether it be England, Egypt, India, or Burma, the remainder was common sense. And say, if you saw a chap with his lung hanging out or his heart hanging out, which I did have from time to time, then you just done the best for him and left him. If there were other casualties as well, you had to make your own decision: would he survive or would he die? The ones you thought would survive, you gave priority to.
Had you done anything in that training that was going to help with that decision making later on?
Not really. No, it's all down to common sense.
So would you say that you can't train for that sort of thing?
I don't think you could.
So how long were you training at Ranchi for?
Something like 6 weeks, which while we were there, I was put in charge. the guard duties were very, very slack. One man had to patrol around the tents all night. You were given a watch to know your 2 hour. Well, there was one person, the chap on duty on sentry, he would come and wake you up and give you the watch. And you had to get up and do your 2 hour patrol, pass it on. Well, the chap came and gave me the watch, and I went back to sleep again. And awful watch, and I wasn't given any sentence, so I was just admonished. I was lucky to get away with it.
Was that the only charge you ever got pulled?
The only charge I ever had.
Why was that? Was it just that you were tired? And
well, I think that's the main thing. Officially, he shouldn't have given me the watch. And she was up and on the feet. But he gave it to me, and I just took it, and it's one of them things.
So, where did you go from Ranchi?
Ranchi, we went to
it doesn't matter. Was it in India?
Yeah.
Was it an Indian town?
It was our first initial conflict with the Japs. We moved to the Arakan.
Oh no, did you? I was going to say, did you move within India itself? Did you ever move back to Calcutta after you'd done your training?
No, we didn't go back from anywhere else in India. After we left the Ranchi, went straight into action.
When you've been in Calcutta, did you actually have Indian servants within the barracks at all?
No. There used to be a tea boy come around with a bucket of tea, and so very sweet, you could hardly drink it. But that was all we had. There were people around who would take me watching, but I'm saying there was nothing official about it. They were there unauthorized, but you could use them if you wanted to.